Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
I'm very excited to be here this morning. I praise God for my brother and my sister, the way they have loved me. And thank you very much for receiving me in a very warmly, it is almost African. Yeah, so I praise God for each one of you. I bring greetings for my wife, my children, the church. They sent their greetings. And I praise God that I'm so much honored to stand in this pulpit. Thank you very much for trusting me. And this is my first preaching in a church. I've just only been meeting people, just some people who have invited me, some new friends. But this is the first pulpit I'm standing in to preach, so I praise God for that. This is the message the Lord has placed on my heart. It's a prophetic message. The Lord is saying that he has heard the cry of you people as you've been crying to him, asking him for a move of God. And God is shifting things in a way that is going to amaze you. And then he brings another message that blessed are the feet which take the good news. And so you have been a church that has been sending out missions. The Lord is going to surprise you what he's going to do. There are great things that are going to begin to happen. Things you have not seen before. My hand is upon you. I'm going to use you in a way you have never seen. This is just the beginning of things. I'm giving you nations. You are going to see nations transformed as you move, as you travel. Oh my God, I give you praise. Where is your wife, Debbie? Can you come here, please? Just stand there. Just come along with her. Just as I was standing there, the Lord started speaking some of the things. Some of the things that are happening in your life, these are some things which are generational. Generations. Some of the things you might not have seen them in your parents, in your grandparents, but a thing that have been happening in your forefathers. And some of these things have been carried forward. And so at times things can happen, and at times you are not aware why they are happening. And then at the same time, there is a place where you stepped into a position, into a place where you were not covered spiritually, and then certain things invaded you. But the Lord is saying this is for a short time. Shortly, everything will be over, and God is going to work in a new way, in a different way. And God is sending you to nations. The enemy has been trying to stand against this, to raise the dust so that you should not do what God has called you for. Oh, Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. God, the Almighty God, is causing things to happen here. There is a shift in the spirit. God is raising you to be a church that is going to take nations. Rimana shitara makofra diyasaka. Washitara miyombra niko pasakaya. The work has begun. It is not yet done. The work has begun. I am seeing you being raised to new positions. I'm seeing you running to nations. God is using you. God is speaking through you prophetically. You are a voice to this nation. You might look at yourself and you think, we are a small church. But in the face of God, you are a big church. You are affecting your community. You are affecting this nation. Oh, you can go back. Oh, Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah. This is a great day. I do not know why God has given me this message, but I'm just going to take some little time to share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart. As I prayed, the Lord gave me this message. I don't know why, but the Lord knows better. So, Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you have given to us. We pray that you speak to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, there are many things that can be happening in life. And we can be used of God. God can give us a lot of successes. And we can get excited. And then at times, we can just sit down and rest. I think everything is okay. But then, most cases, we are not done. Because like what God is doing here in this church, God is not done with you. There, he's still doing a number of things. And so as I prayed, God brought this message in my heart. What would happen if all of us neglected our duty? What would happen if all of us neglected our duty? So God gave me a text. It is in 2 Samuel. Chapter 11 from verse 1. It happened in the spring of the year at the time when kings go out to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. David remained at Jerusalem. Just note that. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, so she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Then David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah had come to him, David asked how Joab was doing, and how people, and how the people were doing, and how they were prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food from the king followed him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and did not go down to his house. So when they told David, saying Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, "Did you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house?" And Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing." Very, very, very interesting. What would happen if all of us neglected our duty? So the Bible says it was time for kings to go to battle. But David didn't go to battle. He decided to send his commander and the whole army to go and fight. When you read about David, David is a very interesting man when you read about him. He did a lot of inquiry. Anything he was going to do, he would do a lot of inquiry. When you begin to read about him, immediately after Saul started chasing him out of the palace, and he was running all around. Everything he did, he was inquiring from the Lord. There are only a few places where he never inquired from the Lord. Like the time when he was going to kill Nabal, who had refused to give him some food. He never inquired from the Lord. He just wanted to go and kill him. Then when you come to the point where he was supposed to go to fight, and he never inquired from the Lord. And then he also decided to do the numbering of the children of Israel. He never inquired from the Lord. But you find that most of the things he was inquiring from the Lord. But this time, when even he's supposed to go to battle, he never went, but he decided to remain around. And so in most cases, when God has done a number of things, we reach at a point where I say, I have arrived. Everything is okay. I can settle down. And so David had fought a lot of battle. He had won a lot of battle. God had given him a lot of things. He had stretched the kingdom, the lands. Many people were serving him, nations. But now he had reached the point where he said, I think everything is okay. I can settle. I can enjoy myself. I can stay at home. Let those people go. Take, for example, like if Pastor Deno said, I have other people there. They are doing the work. They are praying. They are fasting. I think I can rest and maybe go for vacation. May I do this? When there is something that is supposed to be done here, there is spiritual warfare, people are praying, people are seeking the face of God. And then he says, no, I'm not going to be around. I have really prayed. I have really fasted. I have sought the Lord. The church has grown. This and this has happened. What did you think would happen? So there is no time when we say we have made it. It is until when we leave this body that we can say, I have made it. Like Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Now I'm ready. But we are not yet ready when we are still in this flesh. So we don't need to say, I should have a time of leisure. Because here now, David was having a time of leisure. You see him rising and getting on top of the house. He's moving around. Maybe he's looking at the side. He's looking at the city. He says, I think this city looks so nice. Why do I need to go again and fight? I'm so tired. But he never knew what was going to happen. So we cannot say others should do it for us. And so during that moment, David was caught off guard. In most cases, when we are supposed to do something and we don't do it, we can find ourselves caught off guard. Because you see, when we are supposed to be praying, when we are supposed to be seeking the face of God, and then we decide to get out of the presence of God, we can be caught off guard. And so here, David is just on top of the house, he's moving around, and all of a sudden, his eye caught a lady who was not dressed. She was naked. Naked. Sin is naked. Sin is very attractive. And so when we don't pray, when we don't seek the face of God, when we are supposed to do so, many things will happen. Because when we don't pray, we are opening a door to the devil. Because you see, there is a time when we work so much, and then we say, I think I need to rest. But that's the time when God wants us to move into a time of prayer and seeking the face of God. Because God, every time and again, we are taking ground. And so here they were supposed to take ground. They were supposed to capture city. They were supposed to capture nation. But now he's resting at home. He has just sent the army. He has decided to send his servants. So sin can be attractive. It can cause us to lose ground. And you see, after he had called this lady and he had slept with her, she went back. He thought everything was okay. But you see, he sent people to inquire to find out. And then afterward, he sent people to go and bring her. So news was spreading. I believe by the time he called Uriah, Uriah already knew that his wife had slept with the king. And I'm sure David never knew about it. And so Uriah comes home. and he's trying to cover everything. He's saying now if Uriah comes and sleeps with his wife, they will not know that I'm the one who made her pregnant. And so he calls Uriah. Uriah comes at home and he converses with him. He asks him how the body is going, how everything is going, on. And then Uriah tells him everything. But I'm sure as Uriah is sitting before this man's palace, he's not settled. He's saying, this man has done something wrong. He has cheated on me. And so here David is trying to cover up sin. But we cannot cover sin. Our sins will find us out. So, sin is productive. And so now after David had committed sin and the lady had become pregnant, he's now trying to cover up. When things were not covered up, he says, I think I need to do something. Because he tried twice. He called this man. He gave him food. This man didn't go to his house. He went and slept with the rest of the servants. And then he called him again. He made him drunk. But this man still goes back where he slept the previous night. He's trying to cover up sin. But it didn't happen. And so, what did he do? Sin is productive. He planned murder. Because you see, when you commit sin and you don't repent, it will produce another sin. And so he never repented. He still went ahead and planned the death of Uriah. When you read the whole story, the whole of that chapter, and then you go to chapter 12, you'll find that there are many things that happened. Even when Prophet Nathan comes to him and he begins to tell him, he says, this person must die. Hallelujah. So sin is productive, sin is destructive, and in most cases we are ignorant of consequences. Sin has no pity. All of us should know that what God has called us for, all of us, regardless of who you are, should get involved in what we are supposed to do at a particular time. All of us are called to pray. All of us are called to fast. All of us are called to read the Word of God. All of us are called to seek the face of God. If we neglect our duties as believers, we shall end up like David. We need Christ God to deliver us from slothfulness in things of God. Because at times we can become slothful and we're not doing what you are supposed to do. If all of us got involved in prayer, seeking the face of God, and maybe evangelism and churches, our community and nations would be different. Because in most cases when we don't pray, because you see, like this nation started in power, they are sending out missions and many things were happening. But as time went by, churches started becoming liberal, they started losing the power, and so it changed the whole thing. But I believe that God is doing a new thing again, because God is raising people like you who have the heart of God, who want to see things happening. And so, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. It did not matter to Jesus. However many miracles he performed, he set aside time to pray. Every time and again, even when many things were happening, he would just go on the mountain and he would pray and he would seek the face of God. We are living in a world which is very, very, very difficult, where we don't need to settle down. We need to go higher and higher in the spirit. And so, before I come to the end of this message, I want you to listen to these 10 reasons why we need to pray. Prayer protects us. Prayer changes things. Prayer keeps you in the will of God. Prayer draws you closer to God. Prayer makes you happy. Prayer gives you hope. Prayer makes you less selfish. Prayer heals you from all pain. Prayer makes you stronger spiritually. Prayer gives us peace. So that is what prayer does. Those 10 reasons, if we follow them, you are just going to see what happens. Well, in most cases, when I decrease in prayer, many things begin to happen. But I've seen God doing a number of things as I pray, as I wait in the presence of God. So I give praise to God that we are able to be here. And I want to thank God for my dear brother and my dear sister for opening this door. Because when I come here, I'm coming home. I'm not a visitor. Hallelujah. So can you rise up and we pray? Hallelujah, glory be to God. Pastor Andrew, the Lord has seen how your heart is sold out to God. This is why he has decided to raise you. This is why you're going to travel to nations. You have not seen anything yet what God is about to do with you. And your ministry is going to be very, very productive. You're going to see things you never expected. You are going to be invited by people who never you never thought they would ever invite you. Labla hasika ya tola mande lebi kupradiata. Rablo neke pasika ya toche palani hobani. Ako sika itajabolani koposu duaide. Mara bosi kaito jibolani hopoti kaziki yoporia. Ribalani koposiku yotalemendi yoporiga. Jikli ya brodi hasaka. Father great God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give you praise, I give worship for this wonderful men and women of God, whom you have raised at a time like this one, my God. My God, I thank you that you are doing new things, my God. Yes. And I thank that, God, they are carrying your presence, Lord. I thank that they are carrying your presence, my gracious God. You have made them to be a temple, my gracious God, that is carrying your presence, my God, that they should take your presence, my God, to nations, to nations, to nations, to nations, to nations. About 40 nations the Lord is going to take you to. Holy Bashikaya. Father, I thank you and I give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
But I just want him to declare a blessing. So just receive, put your catcher's, spiritual catcher's mitts on.
Hallelujah. Mama, there is a new face the Lord is giving you. There is a new face the Lord is giving you. People might not be able to see what face you have, but the Lord has given you another face. Hallelujah. Father, great God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that these men and women will see the greatness of your name. I declare that these men and women should never remain the same. I declare that your glory, your presence, Lord God, will walk and move with them, Lord. I declare, my God, that you bless them exceedingly, abundantly, above that what they are able to ask or to think about, Kora. Tara bunahati kabo nyindikasiado. Tari komunahati oboka. Shantere dikobaniota. Rambo dikabonyani kida. Pati koboliando pose. Shaklantoreani. Tari abori kdastoki aboria. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. Father, we send off these dear ones, my God, with your glory, with your power, with your wisdom, with your knowledge, my gracious God. We pray that, gracious God, they will impact communities, my gracious God. They will impact every place, my God. They will step. We give you praise. We give worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to say something. Amen. I just want to say something because I think it's for you as well, because Teresa is a mama in the house. There is no face, there is no name for presence. So in the Old Testament, they just could say the face of God. And the face speaks of presence. There was no name for the presence of God, what we call the presence. But so they just would say face. But I see there's something, there's a mantle, but I just feel like there's a blessing over the house. And I thank you. There was a prophetic word Patricia King had. And she said, I see you in Jerusalem stretching out your hands and receiving in the glory and releasing it. And that's the presence. And something happened powerful in Jerusalem. I'm going to share with you next week. But I just want to pray right now. I pray there's a new presence, a new presence. Because it always comes to the top and it flows down. But there's a new presence. Just lift out your hands. Come on, I know it's a double blessing. I just want to just declare it. I just bless you with that face of God, the presence of God. I pray there's a new presence you're stepping into. There's a new season of blessing. There's a new season of favor. We just entered the year of that 7778, and the 8 is the year of new beginnings. It's a year of new beginnings for you. We just stepped into it. We just stepped into it in Israel. I know America hasn't recognized New Year, but we just stepped into a new beginnings. I release that over you, and new presence, new fresh presence of God that meets you. And is with you and is on you. I thank you for that glory that goes with us because it shifts everything. Everything shifts in that presence, in that glory. I thank you that you're shifting things. There's a shifting of seasons. And I just release the blessing and I just speak as the papa of this house. I speak over your lives the papa's blessing. I speak over your life the favor of God. I speak the affirmation of God. You are blessed and favored sons and daughters. You are blessed and favored sons and daughters. And that favor goes with you to open doors. So I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Father. Whoa.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.
Thirsty limb, you give up your mercy.